Welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of April 23rd, and on the road of sorts is with me is Jim Allen. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. Good. How's everything with you?
I'm doing okay. So yeah, I know you're not in your usual studio in Koenji.
Yeah, this is the emergency annex, and but I'm checking it out to see how the sound goes and the sound quality. I'm trying to do basic things like remember to hold my mic. Sorry, guys, for that last week.
Well, yeah, this has just been a year of as our friend Richard Freeman would say, calamities here and there. But hey, yeah. We just fight through it, just like the players
Indeed.
Just indeed. Find a way, keep going, try to do better next time. So
what do we got for the fans tonight, John?
Well, I finally went out to the ballpark this year. I went to Tokyo Dome and I got to talk to Jay Jackson of the Carp. So we've got that interview. We're going to take a look at both leagues. We're going to discuss the hot starting lines in particular and handle some high heat. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
Okay, so as I said, I finally got out to the park. I went to Tokyo Dome on April 14th. So it's about a week and a couple of days by the time this comes out. And I got to talk to right-hander Jay Jackson. This was the day after a Friday night game in which they got blown out by the Giants 10-2, and they, you know, the Giants were on a skid and the Carp were doing well, and I just they faced Tomoyuki Sugano, the ace and of the Giants, and I just figured, hey, this is gonna be a hard game for them to win that first one, and they didn't win it, but they bounced back and they actually took the next two in the series, so they got that. Mm-hmm. So and Jay, he's from South Carolina, and you just wouldn't know it by the way he talks. I've talked to people from South Carolina before, and they have some twang and some accent, and he's got none of that. It's just every time I think about that, it's amazing the way he. I've got most of my relatives are from Louisiana, and they all have accents. I mean, I can hardly understand what they're saying sometimes, especially after talking to him for with a gap of X number of years or whatever, and
right.
I get on the phone with him and I'm like, what? But we did have an email from a fan who said, you know what, when you introduce these guys, it'd be good if you gave us a little bit more background. Now, I always assumed that people could look guys up on the internet if they really wanted to know about them, but we can give a little bit more information. So mm-hmm. So Jay came up with the San Diego Padres. That's where he made his major league debut, but he's pitched in the minor leagues in the States, and mm-hmm. Came to Japan 3 years ago, and I think he has found a home in Hiroshima. He's generated a lot of excitement among the fans who really love him, and he's been a really effective pitcher for the Carp, and mm-hmm. He really helped stabilize an area in the bullpen that had been a game destructive area or weakness for that team in the years leading up to his joining them. And I think he's a big reason why the Carp started going to the playoffs and why they are expected to go to the playoffs again this year. So he took some time to chat in the visitors' mirror room behind the bench at Tokyo Dome. Let's take a listen. All right, joining us this week is third-year Hiroshima reliever Jay Jackson. How you doing, man?
Good. Just hanging in there, grinding every day. Glad to be back for the third year.
Yeah, good to see you. So let's get right into it. How do you like catching a team like you guys caught this team when it was on a losing streak? And whether a team is winning or losing, how do you like catching a streaking team?
I mean, it can go one of two ways. It can go the way it went last night, or it can keep going the opposite direction. You know, it's never really a medium of those, really. You kind of see it as a streaking team. You either catch them when they're really bad, or you catch them when they're coming off a bad streak and they get hot like they did last night, or you catch a team that's really hot and they stay hot against you like we did against DeNA last year, or you catch them when they're hot and then they just fall off for a game or two. But, I mean, it happens. It was the first game that we've had where I feel like we got blown out. We've been playing a lot of good baseball, so I feel like it happens. It's all baseball.
Right. I know it does. So now, you guys came into camp with this, hope for a push for a three-peat. What did you guys talk about as a team as the season approached or when you met for camp?
I mean, for me, we didn't really talk about much. It's just going out there and just playing baseball. You know, let everything happen the way it's supposed to. Our team is really good. You know, I saw a couple things earlier while I was at home in the offseason saying that, you know, people thought we weren't going to be as good this year. And I was like, how are you going to say we're not as good? We have the same exact team from the past two years. I mean, who's really going to be able to beat us, you know, when we're healthy? We got a couple injuries here and there, and those things happen. But, you know, the push is always the same. You just want to win games, play good baseball, and just see what happens at the end.
Who said something bad about y'all?
They didn't say it was bad. They just said that some guys – I read a couple articles that said, like, there's going to be teams that are stronger than us this year. And I still don't see it, but it happens. You know, everybody's got their own opinions.
All right. Now, how much does the influence of, like, losing in the postseason have on a team?
I mean, with our team's young. We had some playoff experience already. I feel like it didn't hurt us too much. It makes a lot hungrier to come back. I mean, our goal last year was to win the Japan Series. We went and we lost. Last year we wanted to come back and win the Japan Series. So this year is the Japan Series bust, really. But last year, you know, you look at our team that we had. We had some big injuries coming through at that time. And, again, we caught DNA when they were really hot. And those things happen in baseball. So you don't hang your head about it. You just go back to work and come back this year and play baseball.
I'm with you. Now, how's the pitching staff? You said there weren't too many changes, and there weren't. But you guys, in the past couple of years, you lost guys like Kuroda and Maeda, and you replaced them with young guys, and they're doing okay. I mean, they're finding their way. But how's the pitching staff?
Oh, pitching staff's still pretty much the same as intact. We have KJ healthy this year, so that's a big help. A lot of young guys, it's still early in the year, so you can't really tell. You got to fill them out. Okada's going to be really good. You know, we got Yusuke Nomura. Yusuke's going to be his usual self. He's really consistent every year. KJ healthy this year is going to be a big help for us. We just took Yabuda out of the rotation, put him in the bullpen, but he pitched a lot of big games for us last year. I feel like when we put him back in the rotation, he's going to pitch a lot of big games for us. We got Yuta Nakamura. He got hit in the chest during spring training, so he's been out, but he's been pitching well down there. Who else? We got Takahashi down there. He's a good young little lefty we have. We got the other Nakamura down there.
Kato.
I haven't gotten to see him pitch this year. He wasn't in camp with us, but he's got really good stuff. It's just about refining a little bit here and there, making some pitches, and he's gonna help us. He's gonna help this team for a long time. I think like a lot of young pitchers that we have, it's just refining their games a little bit and getting them the experience up here and getting their confidence to where it needs to be, and we'll be fine. I think they'll be fine.
How's the bullpen, including yourself?
Bullpen, I mean, I still think we got the best bullpen in the league for me. You know, we got a lot of different mixes. You look at our bullpen, we don't have any lefties in our bullpen.
I was going to say that.
Somehow, and that's been the past 2 years, we haven't really had a lefty in there that we've just stuck with, and we've been able to do just fine. So I think, you know, our bullpen gives guys a lot of different looks. Nobody's afraid for matchups or purposes or anything like that. So I like it. I like our bullpen. We're strong. You know, some guys are giving up some early runs, but we'll, end of the year, we'll see where we're at, but I feel really good about our team. I feel really good about our pitching staff especially. Like, I try to lead these guys as much as I can, and, you know, being the second oldest guy on the pitching staff, oldest guy in the
bullpen. He paused when he said that, folks. He paused.
The oldest guy in the bullpen. You know, I try to help these guys out. That's my job, you know. I tell them I'm like their big brother. If they get in trouble, you know, if they need something, I'm there for them. So I like our bullpen. I like our pitching staff. I like our team. It's still really early. I always tell people are worried right now, like, oh, you lost a couple games. It's like, we got 130 games left in it. We'll talk about it in August. Like, when we'll see where we're at. I have a good feeling that we're going to be 1 or 2 in August. So we'll see when that happens.
Okay. All right. Let's switch gears here a little bit and talk about some of the rule changes, including the challenge system that they brought in this year. What do you think about that?
I mean, I'm glad they did. From what it looks like, I feel like they're not really going to go against the umpires anyway here. They never really do. You know, it's just...
They've overturned
a couple when it's blatant, but, you know...
That's all I can do.
That's all. I mean, you have to in those cases, but, you know, close calls, I think they take a little bit more time in the States than they do here. And here, I think they respect the umpires more than the video. So, I mean, I don't mind it. I like it. Baseball's a game of, you know, adjustments, and umpires are humans. They're going to make mistakes. So, I mean, the fact that you can challenge them and get the call right, especially in big game situations, it's a good thing for the game. You know, it gives it makes the playing field a lot fairer for me.
Yeah, I thought before the season, I thought it was going to slow the game down. But then I've seen now that the managers just say they do the square box thing, and then there's no arguing.
No, they don't.
And that saves time.
That's the main thing here. You never see arguing anyway with the whole in the league. You never really see people managers argue calls anyway.
Don't say never.
Hardly ever, I'd say. But so if a call's there and it stands there, all right, keep the game going. Like, so it works out a lot. I like it. I like the system. It is really quick here for the most part. We've had a couple that they've taken some time on because they've been really close, but they've made the right call. So, hey, if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do.
Now, what about the no-pitch intentional walks?
I like it, too. I like it. It saves pitchers' arms a little bit. Here you're kind of intentional walk here. You had the catcher set in other batter's box. He wouldn't stand up. He would squat down anyway, so you just practice pitches anyway. But I like it. It takes less time. I don't like the fact that you don't throw because you never know what could happen. You've seen guys throw wild pitches on intentional walks before, and, you know, some games have been decided because of that. But
very rarely.
But I think it helps speed up the game, so I don't mind it. You know, again, it saves some pitches too, so yeah.
All right, with the past 2 years, you guys have proved you can beat these Giants and get over the hump there. You lost in the postseason, but how is it being the hunted team now? That everybody's trying to, you know, knock you guys off.
I like it. I like it a lot. I don't know if a lot of guys like it, but for me, I like it. I like having to play your best baseball and people coming after you every day. It shows what kind of team you can be. It shows the mentality that the guys have. And it shows, you know, how good our team is. I mean, even last year, people were hunting for us, and we were, you know, taking everybody's best punches and giving it right back. We played a lot of good baseball. Even the games we've really lost this year, we've played really good baseball in those games, except for, you know, we gave up some runs yesterday. But we played really good baseball. And our team, I always tell people, our team has a chance to go on streaks where we'll win 10, 11 games in a row. But I never feel like we're going to lose a lot of games in a row because our team plays really good baseball a lot of games, and so we might lose a couple games really close here and there, but I feel like we'll never go on a true losing streak because we play really good baseball, and that's just our team mentality, I feel like.
All right. Last one now. Now, your role seemed to change on the team a little bit last year. I think you even talked about it on our show, and we went through it. Now, how did you solve that? How did you change your attitude at the end of the season, and how did you work things out?
You know, it's just being an adult, being a baseball player. At the end of the day, I had to, you know, get out of my own head and not worry about what they were going to do. They're the coaching staff. They're the manager. They're going to do what they feel is best for the team. I can't worry about it. I just have to go do my job at the end of the day. And I did let it affect me a little bit, and it cost me some runs and it cost my ERA a little bit. And I think it probably hurt the team a little bit because I wasn't mentally where I needed to be because I let it affect me just because of how the situations happened. But at the end of the day, I just had to say, get over it, be a baseball player, and go do your job. And that's what I ultimately did. And I felt a lot happier and calmer about it, and it showed. I started pitching better. I started getting my stuff together. And, you know, we went to the playoffs, so that's all that matters. The team is first before me, so that's what I look forward to.
All right, we'll keep up the good work. We're watching.
Appreciate it. I'm hoping so. I hope we can knock another one out and see what happens.
And the postseason, too.
Yeah, we need the Japan series.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Man, good seeing you, bro.
For sure.
All right, thanks a lot, JJ, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, John, for going out and doing that. I mean, I don't want to, you know, you said, oh, I finally got to go to the park, but I never see it as a duty or an obligation. It's more like something I get to do. You know, it's like, I get to go to the ballpark. Cool.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to go this week because of time. So I'm thinking, wow, how fortunate that you were able to go.
Oh, well, yes, how fortunate indeed. I really enjoyed it. And of course, it wasn't this week per se. It was in the Japanese week. Saturday is the last day of the week, so it was the last day of last week. But hey, I just wanted to get out to a ballpark anywhere. I would have I do feel the same way. I got to go. So it was fun. It was fun. And they, like I said, they won that game, and they won on Sunday as well at Tokyo Dome. So now JJ talked about it in his chat. He was on the mound on Wednesday night at Mazda Stadium and had a call overturned that helped him because a guy reached, he was ruled safe. They overturned it, ruled him out, and then the next batter, Tetsuto Yamada, jacks one out against JJ, and that actually saved him a run, and they that only got those Yakult Swallows a run closer, and that ended up being the final score, 3-2 that night. So, yeah, I love his attitude about the rules and everything, but what stood out for you in the chat?
Oh, geez, a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, good.
First of all. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, you know, you really have, you really have to pry words out of Jay. You know, he's so sullen and sticking to himself.
Taciturn.
Not taciturn, exactly. That's that's the first word that comes to mind with Mr. Jackson. And no, he's just a big friendly guy and I don't know, I'm trying to think of words for him. He's a very open and I remember, of course, the bit about, you know, and he said, you know, what's important for you this year? And he says, you know, don't hang your head over losing the playoffs, you know, come out hungry and with a purpose. And I was thinking how that, you know, applied to him, you know, and he said, you know, I had, you know, maybe I didn't always handle things the best way, but, you know, he had issues with the way he was told about his role last summer. And we spoke about that, and he spoke about that with us on the podcast. And so he did want to stay in Hiroshima, but he was willing to entertain offers otherwise. And I was surprised. I wasn't a huge surprise, but I had this impression, maybe the Carp have figured, you know, maybe he would be better off somewhere else. But no, they decided he was their option and he's back, and, you know, and he's a man, you know, he's man enough and saying, you know, this is what I got to do. And I don't do it all the time. I'm human, like an umpire.
Umpires are not human in the eyes of some fans. You take that back, Jim Allen.
No, we call those blues. Yeah. So they are, and players are human. They're not machines.
You take that back too, Jim Allen. Those fans expect those players to go out there and do the same thing every day. You bite your tongue.
Okay, tongue bitten. A memo to self, bite tongue.
Not nibble, okay. Bite.
Ow. Okay, so, but I thought that was kind of interesting. I thought his talking, I was interested to hear his opinion about the Carp starting rotation and the pitchers, and especially about Kazuki Yabuta, you know. And I didn't know that the Carp were doing their version of the Shake Yabuta.
That's awful. Wait, stop just a second. You had some awful things going on Twitter today, and you're bringing this to the show. You just stop it right now.
Dropping him out of the rotation and putting him in the bullpen, seeing how things shake out there. And the other thing I think that caught me was, now I know that managers in Japan don't argue that much, you know, and I remember Tatsunori Hara, who'd be like, me argue? Hold on a second. That's not my job. But you know, for Jay to say managers don't argue, maybe he doesn't see every game every day. But are there any managers in Japan who argue more than Koichi Ogata?
Yeah, I was surprised at that comment, and I thought, well, I think immediately what I thought was, in my head, I thought, well, what he means is. I started to correct what I thought, or put it into the phrasing that I thought he meant, which was, they don't argue enough. You know, they don't go out and the American players, we call it protecting our players, right? The manager goes out and takes the heat for the players so they don't get kicked out, or the manager goes out and defends his players so they get a fair shake, or whatever it is. But the manager's popping out of the dugout all the time, or he's yakking. But we don't see that much anymore in the States as well because of the replay system that exists. So what I thought immediately was, well, you know, you can't argue every call at first base, even though you want to, and maybe they're getting them wrong. But you can't argue every single one of them. So immediately I thought, well, he doesn't feel like the managers go out there, because if he would have been here and played in the Ochiai years with the Hiromitsu Ochiai with the Dragons, he would certainly not say that.
or Katsuya Nomura.
Well, I didn't want to go back too far.
Okay. I'll check my age card at the door here.
Well, not the age.
So anyway, but I thought that was interesting, and I'll throw out speaking of a real blast from the past, I remember Bobby Valentine telling me in 1995 that when he came back after he'd been fired, saying that one of the reasons he had been hired by Hall of Fame shortstop and the Marines general manager Tatsuro Hirooka was that Hirooka had seen a video of Valentine arguing when he was manager of the Texas Rangers. And he thought, that's what I want. An American manager who's going to fire up the players with his fiery demeanor, you know, going out and berating umpires. And Valentine, that really isn't what he did. And apparently, and Hirooka was very disappointed that Valentine was not out kicking and screaming all the time. I mean, he did his share of arguing, of course, but probably as much as any other manager, but not noticeably so. But that was the impression that, you know, that's how things used to be. And so sometimes people think that, you know, that helps. I'm not certain it does. I'm not certain it helps or it hurts. Actually, I think it does hurt. I think it hurts the overall product to have the managers out, you know, arguing over minute points. But that's just me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it serves a purpose, because normally, not only normally, I've never seen it change anything. You don't get the call overturned. You delay the game. If you're pitching, if your batters are waiting to bat, then everybody's getting cold. If the pitcher's on the mound, then he can throw some warm up pitches, but it's just more time on those legs. So I don't really think it helps anything. But like I said, now that they have this replay system, we've got everybody, you know, just making squares with their rectangles, to be quite honest, with their hands, and then there's no argument. The umpires go and watch the videos. And
they're doing it quickly.
And they're fast.
They're doing it quickly.
They're pretty fast.
What happened? What happened to our umpires? What aliens abducted the Japan's umpires over the winter and replaced them with people who are quick?
No, we already established they're not human, right?
Okay.
You claim that they're human too, but I don't think the fans buy any of that.
Hold on. I think we might have to edit that part. Okay. Is this live? Okay.
Yeah. So, fairly quickly, there was a home run. I think it was Sho Nakata hit a home run against the Lions the other night. And I don't know how they missed the call in the first place, to be honest, but they went in, they said, oh, you know what, that was a home run. They came back out, you know, swirled the fingers in the air, and Nakata goes around the bases. So you're right that it's amazingly fast, and it's saving a lot of time. So yeah, I agree. I don't think that the managers need to go out and argue calls right now, although I'm sure they want to argue some balls and strikes. And I think to make up for all the calls that are overturned now, the umpires are just missing calls at the plate.
Hashtag pie heat.
Hey, we'll fix you guys. We're going to get our share of wrong calls. You just try to stop us.
Union regulations. We got a quota, man.
But they're missing an awful lot of pitches this year. So, interesting. So, you know, I liked Jay's attitude about being hunted, about wanting to embrace that and to say, you know, I'm not backing down. I'm going to go out. And Yeah, I didn't realize it because they haven't done so well in the playoffs, but I know they're going for a three-peat in the Central League, but it just doesn't seem like it because they haven't done so well in the Japan Series or in the postseason itself, missing out on the Japan Series entirely last season, and then the year before that not doing so well against the Fighters. So, but I like the attitude. It reminded me of Scott Matheson with the Giants. He said, "Hey, man, we know we're the best, and we're ready to take on all comers." And Jay says, "Hey, we know we're going to get good play and be challenged every night, and that's fine. I kind of think it keeps you on your toes anyway. So that's a good way to go into it. I
like that because you know why I like it. I'm just simple. Or maybe we'll just assume I'm simple, but." I like it because it's fun. I mean, you know, I think if I'm in the playoffs, I think, well, yeah, I'd love to play the weak team, you know, to move to the next step. But, you know, you can't control who you play. So, you know, why not take it in the most positive way you can? Why, you know, if you're doing it, you know, do it. Don't waste your time. And I don't mean you're wasting your time, but I'm saying, you know, enjoy it, embrace it. Why not? And again, Scott Matheson has said similar things. And these people say the same thing about playing in Japan. You're coming here, you know, make the best of it. It's a waste of your time to come here and do it half. I shouldn't say that. That's a word they cut out, but halfway.
Right. Right. And then I also liked, I don't know if I liked it, but I noticed that when he pointed out, because he did talk on the show last year about the way he was being used, being removed from the setup role, and he was candid about that fact. And then he said it impacted his ERA. Now, I think it's one and the same. The ERA is going to affect the team, but he didn't say the team. He did say the ERA. Now, to me, that just, and I think he meant both. I think he meant both.
Yep.
You know, he was looking for a contract. You know, he wanted that next contract. Mm. And I think that played a role in how he phrased that. But definitely, I think, you know, you see his competitive fire on the mound. I don't think it's about his ERA that he's so worried about. I think everybody knows that he wants to win and whatever cost. So if that's him get a couple guys out and then hit the bench, then that's what he'll do and let the next man up, get the next guy out.
He's very much the prototypical North American carp player. You know, good teammate, good competitor, you know, good human being. I mean, you know, talking to Eric Schulstrom, who's been their longtime scout, he says, you know, we look for people who are good citizens. and I like that. And, you know, and I appreciate these guys are coming to Japan and, you know, and sharing their skills with us. So, yeah, more power to you guys.
Yeah, that's important. I like that aspect. That's good to hear. I didn't know that they were actually, because we've met a lot of carp players over the years and they're all quote unquote good citizen. So
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there was a couple of late acquisitions who were like, why am I here? And I don't want to be here, but more than 9 out of 10, you know, so well done. Yeah. Always like the way the carp handle themselves. So.
All right. Well, let's talk about the carp. Now they started out really strong. They swept the Dragons in their opening series at home and had a lot of comeback wins early on in the process. And they just brought Seiya Suzuki, their young slugger, back up to the top team. He had been injured. And they're doing, I guess, as well as I expected. They're not at the top of the standings, but who looks at standings this early?
Oh, that's an interesting expression. Well, I can tell you one. If somebody just said they're not at the top of the standings, I can tell you one person who does.
Well, I told you that tab on the computer says standings. I just it just comes out. But
okay, fair enough. Good excuse.
All right, thank you. They're 4 games over .500 at the moment after losing a couple in Nagoya, which is surprising to lose, especially since they had the lead. And actually, Jay Jackson was the loser in today's game. It's a Saturday, so he gave up a home run in the eighth inning, a two-out home run to Stephen Moya. And I was thinking the citizen might want to come back soon.
Yeah, he better.
Because if this kid hits like, you know, I remember this kind of start reminded me of Kira I'm not going to be able to say his name right.
Kila Kiao. Oh, man, I have an eye candidate.
Yeah.
And I can't even say it because I haven't said it in so long. Yeah, Kila had one of those. He had 3 hits in his first game. And Moya had 4 hits, so there you go.
Yeah, 4 hits, and he was batting 377 on the farm, and he was doing really well. And I thought, especially with that long swing, I thought, no, there's not a way. I don't want to get too much into Stephen Moya, but you know, he did beat him. He beat up the Carp on Friday. He beat him up on Saturday. And he's got another game to go before the series ends. But getting back to the Carp and concentrating on them, they're doing things that I expected them to do. They're strong up the middle with a guy I liked from the first time I saw him, Kosuke Tanaka, at short. You had some issues.
I did.
But I'm glad he cleared them up for you. And then my man.
Yeah, well, he was my MVP last year. So there.
Okay. Well, so there. Well, you're late to the party, but better to come and get some wine and snacks before everything's gone.
Hashtag hi.
Make it red wine for me, please.
Okay. And then my man Ryosuke Kikuchi, whom I just love, yep. And Yoshihiro Maru in center. Now their catchers are, you know, up and down and side to side, they mix and match, and they get enough out of the catcher position. Well, they get enough out of the catching position to
absolutely,
yeah, to be strong in that area too. So they're doing well. One of my concerns was the bullpen. I think the rotation we talked about, and you made that awful joke about Yabuta that we won't bring up again. But he's having some trouble finding his form. And remember, he started out in the bullpen last year and was, you know, on fire and won a bunch of games, so they decided to finally bring him in, put him into the rotation, and he did well. But Daichi Osada is also pitching well. Yusuke Nomura, you know, he's a messy pitcher. He allows a lot of walks, just the base runners every inning. You know, he's one of those guys who does the classic, makes his pitches when he has two guys. You know, he's got guys on base, and then all of a sudden he's making, you know, he's putting the ball where he needs to put it and all that stuff. And
well, you get a lot of excitement with his starts.
A lot of it. You mean the blood pressure, especially if you're Carp fans, right? And then yeah. Chris Johnson has been strong, and just like JJ said, he's healthy. So that's a great situation for the Carp.
Yep.
You know, the lineup that's scoring runs. Go ahead.
You mentioned Yuta Nakamura, and Yuta Nakamura came back and yep. pitched a good game and drove in the game-winning run, I believe. So, yeah. So lots of good things for the Carp. Yeah. I like the Carp.
Yeah, Nakamura.
As I've said.
Okay. Yeah, Nakamura is the guy who, I think it was a game in February against Lotte, and they had a practice game, and he took a ball off the chest, and mm-hmm. that's why he was out. He had bruising in the chest area, so that was mm-hmm. tough. So yeah, he came up the other night, 7 innings, 2 hits, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks, and a hit batter. So he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good, and they won that game. And I think they're piecing it together with the rotation there. But I don't know if that's sustainable, and that's why I didn't have them winning the Central League again. And I think that might cost them in the end.
Oh, so as I said, I have a thing about the Carp, and this goes for the Cebu Lions too. They're basically good defense, good offense, and let's, you know, and just throw our best pitchers out there and have them throw strikes and, you know, see, you know, good things come out, you know, execute your pitches and things are going to work out in our favor.
Right.
And the Carp, one of the things about the Carp is basically these two teams, they get on base like crazy. They don't allow base runners. And that's really the secret. You know, I was looking at, I just, you know, scanned through the Carp hitters, and I noticed, you know, Brad Eldred is batting 195.
Right.
Okay. He's got 54 plate appearances, but he's walked 10 times. He's been hit 3 times. And he's got 8 hits, and 7 of them are for extra bases.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good 195 or whatever it was.
That's a really good. That's an incredibly good one. I think his on base percentage is 395. So that's good. Kosuke Tanaka's really good. Yeah. Kikuchi's kind of having a weird season. You know, he's hitting all these home runs, but he hasn't drawn walks. So I think he's decided to take big swings.
Well, what did you think about my comp? I threw one out there on Twitter today. I said he seems to be like the MPB version of Chris Taylor of the Dodgers, who was a guy who was a middle infielder who suddenly last year hit a bunch of home runs and changed his swing. And actually, it looks like Kikuchi is swinging a lot like Chris Taylor. There's some similarities in those swings.
Well, I'm not Chris Taylor. I'm not very knowledgeable about Chris Taylor, so I couldn't really say anything.
Oh, man.
Apologize.
That's all right. Just, all right, well, then we'll just assume you agree with me, because great minds think alike.
Well, I always agree with you, John. I think that's the premise of this show.
Smack!
And I never...
That hurt.
And I never interrupt you either.
Hashtag hi.
Are you still with me, or do you need to, time to recuperate from those last two assertions? Oh, or would you like to kick me in the assertion?
No, I've got that cold sweat. You know when you wake up after somebody in a book is talking to you in your dream. That cold sweat. That's what I got right now.
Wow.
It feels weird.
Okay, well, that's for another day.
Okay.
Okay, and but you know the one thing that you know struck me, and I guess most of the listeners know I do keep a Japanese baseball database, but I've been so busy working on all these different projects this year, and so fortunate that my data collection all went very unusually smoothly this year. I usually spend until the end of April getting everything sorted out. So I haven't actually looked at the numbers or paid much attention to it, to individual numbers. And I'm going, you know, what's up with the carp? And I see this guy and I think, you know, Yoshihiro Maro is playing like, oh yeah, Jim and Allen didn't vote for me for MVP. Well, I'll show him.
Yeah.
And he's like going, you know, I'm going to start calling him Yoshihiro. My name is not Kondo, but I have a 568 on base percentage, Maru.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just amazing. He's like Kensuke Kondo with power and walks.
With power and walks. I mean, you know, batting 350. I mean, he's really tearing it up. So
28 walks. He's got 28 walks. By April 21st, 20th.
16 runs scored, too. So, I mean, yeah, he's just all over the place. He's amazing. So, I think you called, you called two things. One was that that group in Hiroshima is going to do well. I think you said that in the prediction show. And then the other one was the Lions that we'll get to later on. But you made that call on them having that great offense and them being able to put up, going to be able to put up runs, which is what they're doing. So, yes, you know, those things seem to be in order for the Carp, but that bullpen still is something. And this is the thing is Shota Nakazaki, the closer, he actually looks better. He looks in better form to me than I've ever seen him physically. And then his pitches look better. I mean, he doesn't always get the result. He's still walking guys sometimes or somebody gets a hit, but he just looks better to me. But still getting to him and getting through the seventh and the eighth innings still seems to me like it's going to be an issue. You know, I like what Jay is doing. Jay's really a great competitor, and he pitches well. But, you know, getting to him, getting to Nakazaki at the back of the bullpen just seems like it's a task for that team at the moment.
For now. But I do like their ability to sort through their pitching talent. I thought they did a great job of that last year when people just didn't seem to work in the roles they had them, and they got, but then they sort of developed and they got better as the season went along. I'm hoping that Alan Curry does that this year. I haven't seen much at it. He's just kind of out there getting beat up right now.
Yeah, he's in the floater role. Sometimes he's in the bullpen. Yeah. Sometimes they had him start the other day and, you know, but he at least he's out there. I mean, somebody I don't want to see. I don't know if he's even if it's even possible. But guys like Katsuhiro Nagakawa, I don't want to see anything.
No, I don't think.
I don't want to see anything like that out there again.
It'd be like, no, I don't think he actually exists anymore.
I know he's on the roster. He's on the website, but I don't know if that's real or not. But here's the thing.
Exactly.
They played an extra.
He may have disappeared.
Yeah, they played an extra inning game against the Swallows. They had this miracle comeback where Kikuchi hit a home run in the ninth to tie the score, and then they went all the way to the last inning, the 12th and final inning, and got a runner on base and scrambled up a run with two outs and nobody on to win a game against the Swallows. But they used a bunch of pitchers. So when they played the Dragons on Friday night, they just left Len Nakata out there to do their bidding, and it's like, dude, this game is on you, so you take care of
that
everybody
wasn't
else.
That wasn't their bidding. That was
their Dragons hitting.
It was. Exactly. Yeah, well, that was more like... Do your best,
dude, because you're the man. So, those kinds of situations might reoccur, and that could be a problem for them. So that's the only thing I'm concerned about. But they do look good, and I think it's going to be a fun pennant race with those guys finishing at least in the playoffs, but I think a little bit higher.
Interesting. Now, you want to go on to the other Central League? Anything else about the other Central League team?
Well, yeah, I did want to mention that the Swallows, and I think we all had low expectations for the Yakult Swallows this year. And to be honest, I think they're meeting the expectations that I had, in the sense that I didn't see them blowing other teams out. I figured they'd be under 500. But they'd be somewhere. I think I had them finishing last, though, didn't I? Where's my list? But I just think these games are going to be close in the Central League, and they're going to be competitive. And even if you don't have a great record, you're losing one run games. You're pushing teams into extra innings. You're forcing them to have to beat you, which they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, this we're talking about Saturday's game where the Bay Stars got a couple doubles in the ninth inning to tie the score, got a home run in the 10th inning to win the game. But that's not an easy win for the Bay Stars. You know, the Bay Stars are not bragging about the way they won. They just happened to win that game. The Carp are not bragging about the way they had to struggle 12 innings and then wait till there were two outs in the 12th inning to come up with a run to win it.
No, I have I talked about this performance, luck index or performance index. It's basically trying to calculate how many runs a team would score based on their offensive their offensive results.
How many runs is, okay.
And how many runs they would allow based on their defensive results, you know, so how many doubles and triples and stolen bases and grounded into times they turned double plays, and the same thing for the other team. And, you know, and then try to use that to guess how many runs they could be scoring.
Right.
You know, if the world were, you know, if every
fair.
At bat, if the world were fair, let's say, if every 300 hitter hit 300 with runners in scoring position and hit, you know, the same percentage of his home runs with runners on bases with, you know,
right.
Empty and so on and so forth. And the number one winning percentage in Japan of that is 681, and that goes to the Cebu Lions. And number two goes to the Yakult Swallows.
Wow.
So basically what they're doing on the field is it looks good. You know, they've had good results in terms of the actual record, you know, the record, the scorebooks. You know, how many doubles, and it doesn't say about anything else or luck or this or that or whatever, or, you know, holes in the bullpen or lack of
right.
pitching or whatever. But they're up there.
Yeah, they're third in runs scored in NPB. So, yeah, with 90 at the moment.
Yeah. And so they're doing, there's something there. And now what it is, I don't know, but there are 444 teams that...
We have to take a biopsy and find out what that thing is.
Yeah, essentially, that's the way these counting stats work. I mean, you know, when you see extreme performance, you look for why it's extreme. You know, it's not as sophisticated as, you know, something like, you know, we know the balls are coming off the bat at a certain, you know, velocity, uh-huh. and the guys are getting this much break on their pitches, but, you know, the results are there. Now, some of it just could be dumb luck, and some of it could be just random chance. But I'm saying that, you know, there's something to what the Swallows are doing that makes them look better than some of the other teams.
Oh, well, I look at, you know, you look at where the teams are stacked up on top of each other, and you've got three teams that are 8-11, and that's the Swallows, the Giants, and the Dragons, and then you've got the Tigers at 9-9. So only two teams above 500. That's Hiroshima and the Bay Stars. And the Bay Stars had this eight.
Looks like a fun year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it does. It looks like a fun year. And like I said, I think it's, you know, not every single night, not every single game, but it's hard to get wins in this league. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge. But the Bay Stars had an 8-game winning streak. The Tigers just can't seem to get going. It's just weird. And I was wondering what your run index says for the Bay Stars, because they've outscored opponents by only 12 runs. I shouldn't say only, but by 12 runs so far. But they have 15 home runs, which is, you know, a lot.
Well, it says they should be under 500.
Yeah, and they're 5 games over 500 at the moment. And the Hanshin Tigers, who have been outscored by 8 runs, are 500.
So, I wouldn't put a lot of faith in it, but it's just is something that's interesting. Now, one of the things, I was just sort of poking around at numbers. I didn't have a lot of time today, but a couple of things I thought were interesting. One is that, I mentioned Bobby, we were talking about Bobby Valentine, and one thing about Bobby Valentine, this is nothing, you know, this is really, it's kind of off topic, but one of the things that he did with the Los Demarines was to have his pitching staff didn't issue walks. I mean, like, he was a manager there from 2004 to 2009, and I think they weren't records, but they were close to being records. They had like record few numbers of walks every year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just amazing how you know, it's like they'd issue 100 fewer walks than the next team in the Pacific League. It was always amazing. Anyway, so this year, the kind of team who looks like Bobby Valentine's back is the Omiri Giants. 48 walks and 157 innings. I like it. It's maybe a little lower. But, I was that kind of stuck out to me.
Okay. Yeah, I remember Tyrone Woods used to always say, hey, look, the Giants pitchers challenge you, but maybe we'll look for it. We'll just see if they're going more in the strike zone with different kinds of pitches. You know, more, I don't know what they could do because there are no fastball counts over here. So you can't say, you know, you get a 2-0 fastball or anything like that. But I'll try to watch more and more how they're attacking the strike zone, see how they're getting guys to either chase balls out of the zone or just stay in
now,
the zone.
Can,
just pound
if
the
you
zone.
Can get a straight answer from Masaaki Saito.
No, I'll just watch the games, man. I'm not going to trust that guy. All right, let's make a two-seam transition and talk about the Pacific League. Now, right now, it's all about the Cebu Lions. I mean, I'm not convinced that this is going to last all season, maybe not even for the rest of the week, but they're the first team in NPB history to rally from 8 runs down after the after the 7th inning, essentially. And that was according to Pro Yaku News, and they won a game on Wednesday 9-8. And that was Tomoya Morty's walk-off hit. And then Friday, Shuta Tonosaki. Does that guy, he's having all-star moments all over the place. This guy hits a home
run.
He hit a home run to dead center. And then he made a running catch. And he's stealing every base that's not nailed down. And in the interview after this game, he said, you know, dead center, I don't even hit a ball like that in practice.
Yep.
So they're getting this air about them that, you know, things are going really well. Everybody's hitting well. They're doing the right things. I still look at that rotation and I have my questions and I look at the bullpen and I'm like, where's this going to come from? Where's that going to come from? But when you look around, they keep winning games and that's the name of the game. So today they won their 8th game in a row to start the season at home. That is a club record. I looked at Tonosaki. You know who he reminds me of right now? And I'm not saying
I know who he reminds me of, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you have a person in mind. I'm going to go first since it was my idea, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well.
Like I said, great minds think alike. I didn't think you had a comp. Tsuyoshi Shinjo.
Oh, that's harsh.
No, because he hit for power. He stole bases. Now, he doesn't have the arm, but he made plays in the outfield. So that's what he's reminding me just the way he's playing the game right now. Not anything else, just the way he's playing the game.
Okay.
What about for you?
Okay. Takumi Kuriyama. Young Takumi Kuriyama.
That's a left-handed batter. Come on. You got to at least get a right-handed batter.
No, but I mean the way he plays the game, he can steal bases, he plays good defense. He doesn't have good power, but he's got reliable power. Yeah, I mean he's got some power. He hits lots of doubles. He hits, you know, he runs well. He runs the bases well. He's a smart fielder. I just love him. And then, you know, and then they've got him in right field, and because he's basically a middle infielder, they bring him back at the end of the game. They use him as a defensive replacement at third, which is one of my favorite Japanese combinations. One of them being the center fielder second baseman, and the other one being the right fielder third baseman.
Right.
That's a long story, but those are sort of popular combinations in Japanese baseball. So no, I do love him, and he's just having a heck of a season. And he's sort of the poster boy for the Lions. Although it's hard to take that honor away from Otaka Yamakawa. Oh my gosh. The swing he hit that home run on today, that was a beauty. I was drooling. My wife was getting jealous.
You're scaring the children, man. I'm sure swing, the wife, yeah, too.
No, it was a swing. I was in love with his swing. So, yeah, man.
You know, I'm looking at his swing. My favorite swings are Yoshio Itoi.
Mm.
Number one, and after that, I'm starting to like that Steven Moya swing.
I haven't seen it, so I can't say. But
yeah,
the Lions have a thing going, you know, and of course the big question mark before the season was can Tomoyomori actually be a catcher, and not only he's catching. I mean, his he's had good games. He's had some worse games behind the plate, but he's getting better at it. It's kind of interesting that of the battery at Osaka Toyin High School that became famous, the one who was going to be the superstar is now headed indefinitely for the minors, and his catcher, who looked like he wasn't never going to ever be a catcher, is looking like an all-star.
Yeah. Yeah, so things to worry about. We had Brian Wolf came off the mound last week. Flexing his hand, not sure if that's going to be something that's going to bother him. You know, we talked about his injuries last year when we had him on the show. And then Takeya Okawari-kun Nakamura today, he dove to his left, and I think he injured a shoulder. So that's something to look for as we go along. And like I said, Shinsaburo Tawata, I think he won his fourth game in a row from the start of the season today. So. And he looked good. I mean, he's another guy who's not going to... he's not going to strike everybody out. He's not going to get a lot of weak contact. He just gets outs when he needs them, and he got through. And he pitched okay today.
You say Kikuchi didn't look good yesterday, but... he gave up lots of line drives and lots of hard hit balls, but you know, it's like every time a ball got hit, well, geez, there's so, you know, it's like you're going, oh, there's a hit. Oh, wait, there's Sosuke Gendo. Okay. That's not a hit. And, oh, wait, there's Gendo again. Oh, okay. Oh, there's Tonosaki in right field. Okay. All right. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kikuchi's 4-0. Tawata is 4-0. And then a bunch of guys have one win. So I'm not. Yeah, it's still April. I'll get on the Cebu bus or Cebu train and ride it if I see this in July and August. But still too early. But in my opinion, it does seem like they've got something going on. I did see one fan tweet something, and I said April was my reply to that. So let's slow down. But yeah, it's fun, and they could. I don't think they're gonna run away with everything. But we're gonna talk about some injuries with the Hawks as well later on. So
mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the Eagles, and I'm just wondering, when are they gonna warm up? Are they still in a freeze here? They're 6-13 after today's loss, and you know, Yuki Nishi got his first win today against them in a 3-1 game, and you know, he was okay. But you know, they looked like, I don't know what your luck index says about them.
What has them at the, they're the bottom of the table. They're the bottom.
They're the bottom.
They're the worst in NPB.
Yeah, but they're,
well, that's, but that's also a little, I think, a little skewed, because the the worst in NPB is in the best league. So I don't know if they're actually worst, but they're the worst, you know, relative there to their league. Okay.
Well, I'm angry because, you know, that was my pick to win the Pacific League. So if they don't get going, it's going to just make me look bad for a whole season. So get it going, guys. But, you know, Zealous Wheeler, he looked like he started to warm up.
Mm-hmm.
Yaphet Amador. Mm. He has been getting more contact, more hard contact, and all he has to do is make a little bit of contact. Seems like the ball flies off his bat. But the thing about them is their rotation. I really like what they've got in the rotation going. Takahiro Norimoto started Friday. He walked a tightrope early, but he finished strutting along the balance beam. I mean,
you were ready. You were throwing. John was throwing him under the bus when they're going. Hey,
a fast moving bus at that. Not one of those backing up, with the beeping like that thing in the background. Then no, I was really. I'm like, we got the bad one today. Throw it out. But no. And then Takayuki Kishi's been pretty sharp all season. Mm. And
The kid.
Shoma Fujihira, he's mm-hmm. looked really good the other day, won his first game. And they really needed him to win that game because they were about to get swept. So he came up big from that day. Wataru Karashima's doing okay for them. And then this kid, and I say kid, but I mean, he's 24. Mm-hmm. Takahide Ikeda, he's pitching okay for them. They're just not getting the wins. They're not getting the victories, and that's the big deal. You got to finish these things off, and they just are not getting a lot of offense. They're not scoring a lot of runs there. You got the Cebu Lions, who have 107 runs, and then in contrast, you got the Eagles, who have 66. Now, that's not last in the league, but that's not a lot compared to the team that's up, 10 games above 500 already. So they've got their issues in scoring, and it just seems like when I watch their games, they just are struggling to put together any kind of consistent hitting to get these runs. But when you play a game and the Oryx Buffaloes make you look bad, you got to start looking in the mirror here.
Yeah, I don't see a specific hole other than I remember last year they got off to a red hot start because they had the Igor Omogi and Carlos Peguero at the top of the lineup, and they just propelled that team into the pennant race. It was really impressive until Mogi got hurt and other people. But they had Wheeler wasn't hitting at the start of the season, and Amador was like the ghost. He's in the lineup, but we don't see. They could see through him. He was so useless.
Well, maybe they couldn't see anything because of him.
That's also that possibility. But anyway, so he's hit a bit, and Wheeler's not been hitting, and this don't really have much of an offense. When Toshiaki Imai is your big offensive player, then you probably are in trouble.
Yes. So these guys can turn it around if Wheeler gets going. Some of the other guys, I think they had Hiroaki Shimauchi, they had him batting cleanup the other day. And that is not a good sign. I mean, if he's batting cleanup for you, what what's dirty? Oh, that didn't go over well. Well, let's make a...
Oh, I get it now. Okay. Okay, I got it. Clean up dirty. Okay, okay. It's going to leave some crumbs, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's all there are crumbs.
One other Pacific League comment. Okay. We were just going to... And I wanted to mention this because I was thinking, as I mentioned with... I was sort of, poking through what teams, and the Pacific League team that struck me... And really a surprise. Now, if I asked you which Pacific League team do their pitchers have the best three true outcomes? In other words, fewest walks into home runs and the most strikeouts.
Well, just from watching most of the games, I would say the Fighters.
Let's try the Oryx Buffaloes.
Ah!
I know. It's like, huh? It's like.
But you know what? I said it in the PL prediction show. I said, look at this rotation. It's good.
Okay, so they've gone.
It stacks up with anybody in the Pacific League.
158 innings. They've allowed the. I should actually look at the numbers here. Hold on a second. Let me just to be certain.
No,
but
no problem.
Through Friday's games, okay, in the 158 innings, which is second most in the Pacific League, they've allowed 9 home runs, which is by far the fewest in the Pacific League. Mm-hmm. They've allowed 46 walks, which is by far the fewest in the Pacific League, and they've struck out 131 batters, which if it weren't for Takahiro Norimoto, would be the most in the Pacific League. Huh. So basically, they're doing everything right. But when you see that, when when they're not allowing home runs and they're not walking guys and they're striking people out, you got to wonder, what is that defense doing?
That's not where my mind goes. You know where my mind goes, and it's not the defense.
Well, okay. When it comes to baseball, I know where your mind goes. Okay.
Well, they're playing far. They're playing far below their talent level, and okay, I think it's obvious. And nobody's hitting that great. You look at the averages on those guys. Nobody's hitting that great. I think they're on pace for another, I don't know, 70 loss season, 80 loss season. I don't know. I fully expect if they stay on this pace that we're going to have that responsibility step back move into oblivion by Junji Fukuda, the manager. Mm. And I so Takuchi, he's the farm skipper. I just can't see why he wouldn't be ready right now. And
because I think it's one of those, it's a psychosomatic illness. He knows that there's probably being sick in the hospital is preferable to managing the Buffaloes.
Well, if that team is serious about winning, I just they're not performing to what the talent level says that they should, my opinion.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out
I'll throw that back at you then.
Wow. That's catch. That's a case of, I'll take it. I like that. Anyway.
All right. Let's sneak in a little bit of Shohei Ohtani here with making a seamless transition this time. Just a little bit real quick. He had two hits today. That was Saturday in Japan. A couple mm-hmm. of singles. Now, you said the last time that we talked that he was doing a toe tap, and I was telling you that he was keeping that front foot down, and I really watched, and he's not doing a toe tap. He's basically doing a twist in the batter's box and keeping that front foot on the ground the entire time. No toe tapping or anything. So,
okay. We're not dancing. We're twisting.
Twisting, and I've noticed this also. I said to someone that they're just pounding him in with everything. And
well, you said that yesterday, and they weren't.
They missed.
No.
Yeah, they missed.
The first pitch, the first pitch was, and then everything else was down. Everything
down
was
and
down
in.
And, well, up, down and in is a sucker pitch, generally.
Well, I'm just saying that everything's in. Everything's in or half.
It was all
changeups. Mostly soft in. Well, go back and read my tweet. It was soft in. That's what I said.
Do I have to?
Well, if you're going to challenge me, yeah, you have to, because I said soft in, and they're hitting them hard in and hard up and in, and everything's in. And
okay.
And they did it today, too. The single he got, the second one I saw, they missed. They were going for, middle
Jeez,
in.
You know, well, and you know, missed. Sometimes people do miss.
No, I'm just saying that's why you got to hit. I mean, they missed with location and he whacked it.
I like it. There's a couple of things I like about him, and I'm really positive, taking positive stuff out of this. Is one of the things that I really like about Ohtani is that, first of all, people talk about, he can really develop. If he puts his, they say about a player, if the things go right for him, if he learns to do this, if he puts his mind to it, all Ohtani does is put his mind to things.
Right.
he's basically a baseball machine. Pardon the expression, having said that they aren't machines, but he tries to be a baseball machine. I mean, this is a guy who's going to off-season, he's going to be working on his skills. He's going to be working, he's going, oh, geez, I need to speed this up, or I need to slow this down. He's going to be doing it. It's like this guy's going to be dangerous.
Right.
People kept going, no, I don't like him. I don't like the way his hips move. I don't like the way he does this. And he's going to fix this stuff because, A, he's athletic. B, he's fairly smart. And he's just a really good learner.
Yeah. And applying what he's learning. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he talked today. Today he's going, I could see, when I made outs, I could see what was going on in those at-bats. I'm what I want to do is, build on the mistakes I'm making and build on, my poor, where my approaches don't work.
Right.
And I love that. With him, you've got to be scared because he's going to, as you said, he's going to apply himself. So I just love him. I just love this, watching this.
Well, what I love is today when the AP story came over the wire, it said the San Francisco Giants beat the Angels and Shohei Ohtani, as if, you know, he's the headliner.
Well, he had 40% of their hits.
Yeah, so. He's the headliner, so. The one thing I wanted to point out is I know he had this cramping issue was a big deal when he was here in Japan early on in his career. And I, at one point,
that was the second year, yeah.
Yeah, at one point I screamed on the show. I said, look, figure it out. You know, let's go, fighters. You do what you need to do.
Excuse me. I apologize. That was his third year that he had all the cramping and he missed. He wasn't able to hit a lot because he cramped up on the mound two or three times.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So whenever it was, and I say early on, I guess it's midway through, but it seemed to me that it was the second year. But anyway, maybe over the second and third years, maybe. I think he had.
Well, it did happen in the second. It happened a lot in the third year. So, yeah.
Okay. So they solved that. And then this blister issue, he also had a blister issue in Japan, but I didn't know that it was as prominent a deal or as big a deal as it was.
It was pretty serious, apparently. And I think it was Jason Koskrew who was saying yesterday that he had been pitching with blisters early in the 2016 season, the year when I think he went 0-6 to start the season. He didn't have any command at all, and I was wondering, oh, is he, you know, working? Is he, you know, did trying to learn to change up, mess up his delivery or something, and he had no command. And apparently that's when he had blisters and he was trying to pitch through them. And then it came back in July, and they took him out of the rotation for 2 months.
Yeah. So
let him hit.
Yeah. So we'll see how this affects him going forward. But they said he's not supposed to miss his next start, so that's good.
Yep. He threw a bullpen on Friday, and so he's, I think, looking to go Tuesday again. So okay.
Okay. Let's go to fielding questions. The first one is from Max. It came via Twitter, and he says, with Alex Ramirez and foreign managers in the past, how has the language barrier affected / influenced Japanese players and coaches? Are things that are said interpreted word for word through translators and to coaches? Or do words get lost in translation at times? # high heat. So let me start by answering the question before I get into all the details. Yes, all the time there are going to be some issues. Now, we don't know them all, and we don't see them all in public, but I can tell you this. If you watch the hero interviews when there are foreign guys on the podium and you can speak Japanese, you get an idea of what's going on. Things get cleaned up, shortened, things get reframed. in the native
language
here.
That'll be the next metric. Question framing.
Comment framing, yeah.
So, saved us two questions this month, okay.
Right. So these guys are generally, the interpreters are pretty good, and but you notice that none of them are out there with a notepad. They all do it by listening and then repeating, so things get left out. Yeah, that's going
to
happen.
Some of them, yeah, they vary from being really good to extremely good.
Right.
Now, as far as the players' interpreters, I think now it's pretty good. I think the quality of the interpreters is really good.
Mm.
However, having said that, you know, I my favorite one is, you know, some of the old Hankyu Braves players getting angry because their interpreter in the late 60s was Chico Borbón, the former Hankyu Braves infielder, and his English was really... Chico's English is not really good. His Japanese is really good. He's a native Spanish speaker, but he was out there trying to interpret for the English guys, and they'd be going, oh, yeah, you know, and I hit this inside pitch, and I was looking for a fastball, and I got one, and I just wanted to put a good swing on, and Chico's out there going, yep, well, he got his pitch, and he hit it. Okay, next question.
You know, I think among the coaches and managers and all those guys, for example, in Alex's situation, you know, the little subtleties of the game, these interpreters do all the time. You know, there's nothing new that's going to come up that they say, hey, you know, you need to do this a little bit differently, or, you're leaning forward or your shoulder's doing this or something. All those things are pretty easy and straightforward because they come up all the time in baseball.
I'll tell you, Alex's interpreter, you know, it's like, is one of the best. I listened to him doing his, you know, his pregame chat with the reporters. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed at how spot on his interpretations are.
Oh, okay.
I'll throw that out there. I don't listen to a lot of these guys because there's only one foreign manager in Japan right now. But I would say Alex's guy is really, really good.
Right. So among the players and all those things, and when they're working on certain things and they're foreign players who are working on things in practice and everything, I think it's close to 100% that they're getting that stuff right. Now, nothing's perfect, but when a coach tells an interpreter to tell a player to do a certain thing, I think that gets translated or interpreted perfectly or close to it. It's the other things that we are exposed to, probably press conferences, the hero interviews and things like that, where we see these guys maybe not put everything, not convey every single utterance that's said. But, I think on a day-to-day basis, it's pretty much, I mean, this is what they do. This is not the interpreters per se, but the baseball players, they want to know. And if they don't get it or if you don't say something right, they're going to ask until the point is made and it gets across. So I think that's not a problem.
I think most of the difficulties lie in areas where people don't expect problems. You know, things off the field or where the cultures have different opinions about what's normal. I think sometimes, you know, the interpreters, but I think now the level to which the teams deal with the foreign players, they know what foreign players don't get the first time. And they are pretty good at making a point, you know, at knowing where the common gaps are. So I, you know, but 20, 30 years ago, you know, they tell foreign players, you know, do this and they do, you know, they do A and they do B because they just, A made no sense to them.
Right.
So now they make sure. No, yeah. Yeah. Now they say it B and B means this, you know, and not that. Okay. Get it right. Okay. Right. So, yeah.
Okay. All right, and we have one more question we're going to get to this week, and the other one we'll put on hold. But this one is an MP3 from our own Michael Westbay.
Hey, John and Jim. Michael here. When Kudo took over the managing job for the Hawks a few years ago, it was heralded as the start of a new era of injury prevention. Yet, looking at all the players out with injuries right now of all the 12 teams, the Hawks appear to be at the top with most injuries. Do you have any ideas about what could have gone wrong?
Well, thank you, Michael.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Jim, I'll let you start this one.
Yeah, well, since I probably made more about this than anybody in Japan in 2015. Yeah, I have it's an interesting question. I don't know why it is, but I will tell you that, you know, and one of the reasons I'd ask my guy with the Hawks, except now he's with the farm team, their former conditioning coach. So, but I'll tell you, he was their conditioning coach in 2014 when Kimiyasu Kudo, who is still working on his sports science postgraduate degree, mm-hmm. Came in and started utilizing the talent of their medical staff and getting feedback from their medical staff, which was kind of a new thing for SoftBank. And he told me that, you know, they had the Hawks. He had been tracking the Hawks for years. He'd been tracking the Hawks players' weight and body fat mm-hmm. throughout the season, and it's. He told me that there is a. I don't know if it's a belief or how much the evidence is that players who vary whose weight and body fat fluctuates a lot tend to have more injuries. They tend to have swings in performances. And he said that year when Kudo came, it was really stable. And that year, basically the big injury the Hawks had was Seiichi Uchikawa rolling his ankle at first base. You know, things, you know, guys getting hit by pitches and balls, you know, and so on and things like that. You know, twisting ankles and things on the field that didn't really have anything to do with conditioning. So I do know that happened. As far as they are getting injured, I know there were more injuries the year after that. And there were more injuries also with the Swallows, who also adopted a very, who stole some of SoftBank's conditioning people to run their conditioning program. And they were very fit in 2000. I know it seems hard to believe the Swallows were ever fit. But in 2014, they were, 2015, they were very fit, and they were a very dangerous team, and not just dangerous to themselves. And so they, but the following year, a lot of the guys were just, you know, not as fit. And I asked Rick Vandenhoek about this, and he said, you know, everybody's sort of like going with this very harsh, very, very, very rigorous. You know, they do a lot of lifting, the Hawks and the Swallows do. And is the system need to be adjusted? He said, I don't know. I don't think so. Everybody was, and I talked to the Swallows guys, Joe Akiyoshi says, no, we're all pretty good. The injuries are something unrelated to that. And that's all I can say. I don't really know why it is that the Hawks are hurt. I'm really interested in why they've suffered so many injuries. Well, but I don't know.
Yeah, the latest guy to get injured was Akira Nakamura. He got deactivated, and Dennis Sarfate. It was a really quirky translation. Just said he had some tightness in his hip area, I don't know how it seemed to me the way everyone reacted that he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, that he went back to the States. Now, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, the one about the fourth inning. Okay, at the Japan series in game.
Fourth inning. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, well, right. I said, you know, aren't you glad now you didn't go out for the fourth inning? He says, man, I'm still feeling the third inning.
Yeah.
And he said his fastball wasn't there and something this year like it normally is. So I'm wondering. Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple ways you can guarantee that you won't get hurt, especially in baseball, and that's just to stay stationary. You know, stay in the dugout, be a manager, or don't get old. That's another option.
That's my plan.
So, these guys are going to get hurt. Now, you know, we talked about the Swallows, and we've talked about, we've chronicled a lot of their injuries, but a lot of their guys are, you know, around 30, and some of them actually weren't. That 2016 season or 2015 season?
15.
Where it seemed like the water boys got injured.
That was 2015 was the year they were healthy.
Okay, 16. Well, it looked like everybody was going down then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say, Michael. I don't think, you know, just because you have a good program and you're working out in a certain way that you're not going to get injured. Injuries happen. As a golfer can attest to recently at the Masters, he was, you know, celebrating his hole in one and dislocated his ankle. So things can happen that you just don't expect, moving a different way, stepping the wrong way and getting older. But again, a lot of the guys who are playing with the SoftBank Hawks, they're not the young up and coming guys like Uebayashi. He broke through, but most of the guys have been there for a while. So you're going to have injuries. It's cyclical, and I think that's what we're seeing with the Hawks right now.
Okay.
All right. We've got one more question, but we'll hold it for next week. But we can take more questions, and we really appreciate the MP3. Thank you. Thank you a lot for that, Michael, and thank you, Max, as always.
Yep.
And it has been a really exciting first month here so far, and we're going to bring. I guess we're going to have to come up with our mini tracks power tracks show next week. So or we're going to have that segment on next week. So get ready, Jim.
I'm ready, babe.
As well as our players of the month, our first players of the month. Oh, my.
Wow. I haven't even thought about it. It's been such a weird season. I've been doing so many different things this year. It's funny. All the things, you know, you go through the winter and you think, or you go through a season and then you get. As you get to the end of the season, you say, okay, these are the things I'm going to do right about next season. And then the winter, you're thinking, wow, this other thing was really interesting. I'm going to do that instead. And so I was going to make my database, publish my database and do this and that and go do more analysis. And I just found other things to occupy my brain. And my brain is easily occupied. So sorry, guys.
All right. Well, occupy yourself with a few games this week. Try to catch some, all right?
I will try.
All right, everyone. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballpark.